Language warning. The following episode of Truth News Radio Australia contains strong language. Those who are easily offended by use of obscenities should not listen to this program. Thank you. Hello and welcome to another episode of Truth News Radio Australia. I'm your host, Herewood Fenton, with Josh Jackson. It's the 22nd of November, 2008. Today, we're looking at internet freedom, with plans by the Rudd Labor government to bring in an internet filtering system which will be mandatory for all users and ISP-based. Now, to kick off the show tonight, we're going to listen to a short segment that was aired on an ABC, on a commercial television radio station within the last few days. So sit back and get ready for a very interesting show, and one which we hope will be able to make a difference for the future of internet freedom in Australia.
Well, Australia's mandatory internet filter is being primed to block 10,000 websites as part of a blacklist of unspecified, unwanted content. This is in addition to the 1,300 sites identified by the Australian Communications and Media Authority. Things like child pornography will be blocked, but other sites determined as unwanted content will also be blocked. Trials will begin before Christmas.
It's over to our Thursday All-Stars, writer Flip Shelton from Melbourne, Greg Carey from Radio 4BC in Brisbane. Good morning to you both. Greg, what do you think of this? Good for democracy?
Oh, Koshy, I think it's great for democracy. I know there are civil libertarians and others who are saying it's a clamp on our rights. I think maybe sometimes we talk a little bit too much about our rights rather than that balance of responsibilities. You know,
too much about our rights. Well, folks, welcome to the show. Welcome our studio audience, our studio guests, Maria and Dan. The question of too much talk about our rights.
Oh, Herewood, let me just say, how can something be good for democracy if the information isn't there? I mean, and folks, let's just say right now, this has got nothing to do with child pornography. I mean, this isn't stopping child pornography. In fact, it's going to do...
Oh, Josh, no. It's all about protecting the children. Come on.
Yes, that old guys again. You know, folks, you've got to really understand...
Do you have children?
And that's the question they throw at you, right? But I have a lot of friends with amazing children, and I want to protect children like anybody else. You know, that is, in a free society, one of the most important things to do is protect our precious children against these disgusting predators.
Yeah.
But having the government saying it's to protect children is so despicable, because that's not what it's for. And what happens, right, to filter the internet on a national basis is a big ask. It's massive infrastructure. You have to build a massive mammoth infrastructure of hardware and people and time and resources to do this. And you wouldn't be able to do it without some guise of fear. And the fear, again, once again, just like the Northern Territory intervention, was the protection of children. Look, and so everyone went behind. And if you aren't for the filtering of the internet, then, well, you must be a pedophile.
Well, indeed. All of these, you know, civil libertarians are just pedophiles in disguise, or other types, you know.
You know, and
the ones that want to teach you how to make bombs.
That's what they try to make you believe, is that if you aren't for this internet filtering. Now, let's just say, in a free and open society, there are plenty of ways to protect your family. And if I want to protect my family, I'll go on there from the thousands of open source filtering software that's on the net to filter anything so my children cannot view this disgusting, despicable stuff that's available on the internet. Now, part of living in a free and open society is that you are going to be offended sometimes in your life, because that's part of being free, is being offended. Well, stand up against the offense and say, well, I don't like this and that, and have your say. But that's your freedom as well. But to just filter it, and then not allow us to see what you're actually filtering under any freedom of information and all those rest, is just, it's totally upsetting.
Well,
really.
Okay. I'm of course 100% behind what you're saying, but I'm going to present the the argument from the other side. And I know people who are friends of mine who are somewhat susceptible to these arguments. So we have to understand their thinking, because if we don't, unfortunately, what happens is the majority rules, and in this case, the majority tends to be very concerned about protecting their children, especially people who have children, okay, especially young children. There is a sense of...
But it's not about the children. That's the point. No. That's what they're saying it's for.
Absolutely. But we have to look at this from the perspective of these concerned parents, of which there are millions in Australia, who are concerned about their children. Now, here's my argument that I offer to the concerned parents of Australia about your children. Firstly, if this system goes in place, your children will not be protected. That's the first point. Second point I'd like to try and emphasize is that if this system gets in place, your children will be less protected than they are now. And that's the one I think that the concerned parents need to understand. Why am I saying that? Okay, it's simple. When you have a free and open internet, free and open access to information, there is effectively the entire nation can police what is online. If something appears that we don't like, we can report it immediately. If there are people doing this in Australia, they can be tracked down. Now, as soon as you have a blacklist that's hidden from public view, no one knows anymore what's out there. But there will always be ways of getting around the block for those who are determined, which means that those who still want to access the illegal stuff will be able to, but there'll be far less open public accountability for anything that they do, because the list will be secret, the government censorship is not accessible to freedom of information requests. The industry of child pornography will continue unabated. And this is actually what some of the...
Look, honestly, I just can't be bothered with all these arguments. Honestly, if there is despicable stuff on the internet, get the police onto it and shut these people down. These people need to be arrested, not blocked.
But the problem is...
Ooh, we're going to censor this. No, arrest the bastards.
But the problem is we can't go to, you know, Bolivia and arrest. We can't go to another country on the other side of the world and arrest some people.
Yeah.
And there are many countries we don't have extradition treaties with.
But if it's on the web, if it's on the web, if there is a kinnyporn.com...
Welcome, Dan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. All I'm saying is then it's public information. And it's easy to find. It's easy to put on, you know, antivirus software. It's easy to put on filtering software anyway.
Indeed.
That's the point I'm getting at. People need to take responsibility for themselves and need to put on filtering software at home. Because what will happen, right, is that this is used not for pornography at all. This is the guys again. It is for, quote, unwanted material. Now, unwanted is so vague. So all of a sudden, we get taken off the... Right, I'm just kidding. We weren't really taken off the air. But that's the kind of thing that will happen, is that we'll just be taken off the air and you won't be able to hear this. Now, a lot of people will say, it'll never happen. People will get around it. People will get around the filters and start posting, stuff about the government. If the government starts shutting down political dissent, dissenters will just get around it and post. But the problem is, then they'll get around it, but the mainstream will not get the information anymore. The mainstream will only get entertainment. Once again, you'll be left with a 3,000 channels. And
are they trying to say that children get a kick out of kiddie porn?
I don't know what they're saying. They're saying that children could be online and get access to pornography.
But are they saying children can look at kiddie porn? I mean, there's two issues. There's kiddie porn issue and the kids looking at porn issue, and those are two different issues. You follow?
Well, exactly. I mean, I do. Spot on. They're saying, well, we want to block kiddie porn to protect children. Well, hang on. What? No, but it's certain minority groups of adults that are looking at this content. Now, those people need to be you know, dealt with, but to blanket the entire internet, and the internet is what it is because it's a vast majority, and anybody willing to shut down the most amazing thing of our time, wanting to rain on a parade so grand, as Henry Rowland put it, so amazing, anyone that wants to do that needs to be shut down straight away, because this sort of talk is just absolutely...
Okay, at this point, I just want to break for another television piece, which was on a couple of days ago. It's a little bit more reflective, and I think it can address some of the issues that we're discussing here about what the actual practical implications are, whether it will work, etc. So just stand by.
But first, making news this morning, and the federal government will make internet censorship compulsory for all Australians. The Daily Telegraph says controversial websites on euthanasia and anorexia could be banned, and that would put our level of net censorship alongside places like China, Cuba, Iran and North Korea.
A poll on Sunrise this morning asked, should the government censor the internet? Now, 20% said yes, a whopping 80% said no. Dale Clapperton is from Electronic Frontiers Australia. Now, that's a group dedicated to protecting online freedom. He joins us now from Brisbane. Good morning to you, Dale.
Good morning.
Good morning. Obviously, you don't think we need compulsory internet censorship for all Australians?
No, we've had the internet in Australia for about 30 years now. At various stages along the way, people have raised doomsday scenarios about what was going to happen if the internet was not censored. Most recently, back in 1999, when the Howard government attempted legislation along these lines. But what we've really seen now is people who have grown up with the internet understand it, understand its dangers. People who grew up with the internet as children now have children of their own, and they're quite capable of making informed decisions about it.
Dale, do you have children?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I'm
just going to pause it there. The interview was pretty good up to that point. He's a great speaker and he's done very well. The question there was asked: do you have children? No, I don't. Again,
Shut down. This
is the way this argument is being framed. Now, I'd just like to invite Maria into the show. Maria?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, welcome to Truth News Radio. Now, you know, we have a bit of a chaotic news presentation method here, but like, I just invite you to join the discussion and give us some of your thoughts.
Maria is a filmmaker. Just to give some background, Maria is a filmmaker working
indeed,
on a documentary.
Indeed. Maria has actually been to the United States and collected some amazing footage, and she's in the process of producing a film about the 9/11 Truth Movement. Congratulations, Maria.
Thank you. It's a work in progress.
It is indeed, and I'm sure it will be quite amazing when it does turn out.
Fingers crossed. I hope so too.
Maybe just bring your mic a little closer.
Yeah. Look, the thing about internet censorship, it's almost like saying that, okay, what if you don't have children? Does that mean that we lose our rights because we don't have children?
Well, indeed. I mean, if the question is about children...
But it's not. That's the thing. The issue, they're just using that because it's a sensitive issue. It's like, well, if you don't want to protect your children, then are you a kiddie fiddler, you know? Are you a threat?
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I was speaking to a colleague the other day and about this internet censorship. And she's, oh, well, if terrorists have the ability to research and make bombs through the internet, I'd rather have it censored for my protection. I'm like, that's insane, because you can find the ingredients to make bombs at any university library.
Well, what I would say to that, and this is a theme that Josh and I have often talked about, is that in historically, fascism rears its ugly head. It always does it in the guise of, you know, protecting. And they often start with, you know, the threat of some terrible foreign threat. So, you know, because of the, you know, the terrible communists or the terrible terrorists or the terrible Muslims, we have to do all these things to protect you. Now, all these things that governments do to protect people in those situations end up being forms of tyranny in themselves.
That's true.
But we're in a rather unique period of history now where it's coming at us from all directions. And it's coming at us in the guise of a government which is, you know, social,
we wouldn't say socialist, but we're not really allowed to say that. We don't really know what they are. They're supposed to be progressive. They're called left-wing. We don't even really know what that practically means anymore. We had a 12-year period in this country of a government ruled by liars and tricksters and people that were so universally hated that whoever the other side was, they would have been voted in. But the new government that was voted in last year really didn't offer to do anything better or different to what the others were doing, except for a few, you know, token things, which, of course, you know, changing workplace reform and stuff like that. Some of that was good. But at the same time as that, everything to do with national security, everything to do with freedoms and civil liberties, there was no offer there on the table to roll back any of that. And instead, they've gone further. They've actually gone further than the Howard government. So we're in a rather awkward situation now of having just, you know, had 12 years of a right-wing Liberal government replaced by a supposedly progressive Labor government who is now just pushing us further down the same path.
Look, the reality is the internet is more of a threat to the government because people are using it as a form of free speech and getting the information that's out there. You know, as we all know, the media, you know, does not present honest information. And people are going on the internet. A lot of activist groups are using the internet as a weapon. You know, and yes, that is a threat to the government.
That's right.
This is just the first step, as we said, with the child pornography.
And not only that, it's the internet is a threat to corporate, mainstream, old school industry. So you're seeing here massive lobbying behind this, the scenes from established news and current affair media, established movie houses, and established recording studios. So here we have the music industry, the film industry, and the media industry, all.
But is
and
there,
I can tell you
is
all,
there a domestic Australian recording industry left? I didn't know there was one.
It doesn't matter. It's the international. It's an international. The recording industry are all international, right? So we got Sony, BMG, and all the big ones. They are. I can tell you right now, they are lobbying big time for this net censorship, because it'll all go under the guise of protecting children. Then all of a sudden, oh, the pirates. Pirate Bay needs to be taken out. Right, boom, Pirate Bay gone.
All file sharing gone.
All so file sharing gone.
There's a huge amount of pressure from the record industry, corporate lobby groups to do something about that.
And this is the reason behind this. But you can't say that. They can't say that because then everyone will fire up and say, oh, that's why they want it. It is all under the guise of protecting children and child pornography, because that's the only way you can get the people behind it.
Well, there was some discussion that it was also about protecting the profits of, you know, local bookmakers and, you know, people, instead of people taking their money down to the poker machines in the pub, they'll just gamble on the internet.
Oh, it goes on and on, you know, and it's more about protectionism and of corporate interests than any children. I can tell you that right now, because this is a vast amount of money that's going to be spent on building this infrastructure. And people wouldn't put up with public money going into building such infrastructure if it was for that sort of corporate interest. It has to be under child safety banner.
I'll just play the rest of the interview here with Dale Clapperton, because it's quite interesting. So just stand by.
Just wondering, do you think we need any kind of internet censorship at all?
Internet censorship for parents that want it is already available in the form of software that can be installed on their computers. It's a useful tool that parents can use to control and monitor their children's online access in conjunction with appropriate supervision. This software is already available free of charge from the Commonwealth Government and has been for quite some time. We don't see that there's a case for forcing it on everybody at an ISP level.
Dale, my understanding of that is that the people around the world spend their days and nights working out clever ways of getting around that, so kids can get around those pretty simply.
There are ample ways to get around these types of censorship systems, and for that matter, children enjoy pushing boundaries. It's something that they're good at. And when children have got the degree of technical sophistication that they do these days, it will be fairly trivial to get around any kind of censorship system that the government tries to enforce. The only alternative would be making the system so restricted that it would really be unusable.
Okay, so why do you think the government is pushing for this, Dale?
Several reasons. First and foremost, they went to the election last year promising that they were going to do this, and now they're determined to follow through. There's also the issue that the government needs the support of the Green senators and Senator Fielding and Xenophon, who's an independent and from Family First, to get any controversial legislation through the Senate. Senator Fielding from Family First has already said that, for example, he wants access to certain adult material, which would be most pornographic websites on the internet, blocked for all Australians. And Senator Xenophon, who has an anti-gambling agenda, has said that he wants the system used to block gambling websites.
Now, I'll just pause it there. What Dale Clapperton is saying there is I partially agree with. But Josh and I have our suspicion that there is more to it than merely these pressure groups who want to ban all pornography, although they do exist. The Family First and these Christian groups certainly do have people in them who would just like to ban all pornography. But there are these other agendas that are going to surface if the system goes through. Once the filtering system is in place, then the pressure groups who would like to see Pirate Bay banned will be able to, you know, lobby for that.
Well, I can tell you right now, the pornography industry itself would like pornography banned on the internet because they were doing a lot better through selling books and magazines and a few other things. So you never know who the hell is behind a lot of this.
Well, we don't know who's behind Family First. So you're quite right. And, of course, with the precedent having been set in other parts of the world for Holocaust revisionism to be illegal, and with the known sort of position of our own Prime Minister on this, who threatened to take the leader of Iran to the International Criminal Court.
Actually, Australia's already in prison because of that. Frederick Tobin is actually in prison right now because he wrote a book about the Holocaust.
So I know he was detained at Heathrow Airport. Yeah. And then was he deported?
He was released, I heard.
I think he was released, although he may have been rearrested. I'm not sure. But, yes, I heard he was detained at Heathrow Airport, which is obviously not – the UK isn't subject to those laws that operate in Austria and other countries.
Well, he's already served time in prison in Germany. And when he returned to Australia, he was under a gag order.
So we have a precedent here set for people who question the Holocaust. Now, I'm not a Holocaust revisionist, but I totally uphold and would defend to the death the right of anyone to ask questions about the Holocaust. Now, by saying that, of course, I am opening myself as a target, but it's a matter of principle
totally
for me.
I agree with you, yeah.
It's a matter of principle for me that you should be able to ask questions about history.
That's right.
But about anything.
I mean, just think about this for a moment. People can now get in prison for writing a book, for asking questions. I mean isn't there something wrong with this picture?
If you look at the media blackout on the siege of Gaza that's happening right now, I mean, I've been looking at the internet, and there's one report, only one report on the siege of Gaza, and on the current siege of Gaza, you can only find one report on the internet. I mean, it's just. Just astonishing. I mean,
yeah. Look, apart from all that, he's going back to the internet censorship thing. I think he's spot on. There, if I want to protect my family or future children from content on the internet, there is plenty of free software out there for me to do that. Not only the one that the government sanctions. Plenty of open source firewall software. By letting our government, nanny state, spend millions setting up a federal internet firewall and an internet/internet filter under the guise of protecting our children, we're giving our government and corporate interests massive powers and hardware to incrementally censor the internet. Now, they'll do it slowly at first. It will be all the horrific stuff that we'll see, and we'll see. And we'll all say, oh, thank God they did that because that stuff was evil. You know, all that kiddie porn, all that's absolutely evil. Thank God they did that. Those people that are still saying stop the internet filtering must all be pedophiles, you know, by that stage.
Or terrorists.
Then slightly less horrific stuff will go. And we'll say, well, that was reasonably good. Thanks, trustworthy government. You know, then more and more stuff will go without anyone knowing.
Thin end of the wedge, you're saying.
Yeah.
The only thing we'll be able to access is maybe Coca-Cola.com by the end of it.
Well, exactly. I mean, pages will just start to disappear without public oversight. And one day we'll be telling our tales to our children that the internet wasn't just 1,000 channels where channel 1 is Facebook, channel 2 is Qantas, and channel 3 is Telstra Billing. You know, it was a massive wealth of diversity, full of weird and wonderful views. They even had pages on dissenting with dissenting views and plans on how their how to get rid of get off the grid and build your own solar panels. You know, there were sites like that. The kid won't believe you, of course. We'll just go back to singing jingles from Coke that he saw on Internet Channel.
You know what I would like to get on this show. I want to get someone who is pro-censorship on this show because I want to have the ability to discuss this with someone who is supporting this and have them argue their case because we are all pretty much in agreement, I think. Although, Dan, can you possibly voice your concerns if you have any? Because I have spoken to you before about this and you did express some. And I really want to engage with the concerns that you as a parent have so that we can actually deal with it openly. Now, if you feel that that there is an issue there, that's not going to work. That mic is turned way down. Keep working. Keep talking.
I understand. I'm with you on the internet censorship thing because all censorship is bad. The problem is the concerns people have about pornography are, in my view, quite substantial. I mean, when I was a boy at school, there was, the naughty boys at the around the back of the shed, you know, used to get copies of Playboy and laugh and joke about, all the nudie girls in Playboy and that kind of thing. But at the end of the day, that wasn't, weren't looking at anything much you couldn't see on a nudist beach or something, They were just naughty boys. But the fact is, I mean, this is a real problem. I mean, it explains the concerns that a lot of people have, which are not unfounded, is that, there's this absolute stream of bizarre filth that you can now get these days,
But is it just bizarre filth for you? I mean, for someone else, that may not be bizarre.
Well, I don't want to really get into that debate other than to say that it's really against the law and it offends, things that offend the sensibilities of most people. I mean, without, do you want to get into details? I mean, apparently you can get, people having sex with animals and...
But it's your choice to not watch that, though. I mean, that's,
But are we having a philosophical debate? I mean, most people, the majority of people in the world, would be just... would be offended at, somebody even mentioning such things in a classroom or making this sort of thing available for children or minors or even,
Well, this goes back to being a responsible parent and having good internet filtering software at home. I can tell you, I've been on the internet ever since the internet was very, very young. And I've seen it go from where you searched for anything. It could be a certain type of flower or a beer, and you would get porn. But then Google came along and vastly made a more superior search engine. And nowadays, I will never hit a porn site unless I actually want to find one. It is so well indexed that you don't just stumble across some porn anymore. It is very, very, very rare if you do. Now,
there's another point here that I think we do have to address. I mean, because like, if a person wants to watch porn, is that a bad thing?
No.
What's our position?
That's their right. I think that's their right.
That's their right. Absolutely.
We're not talking. I'm not. When I say porn, I don't mean exploiting children. I don't mean children involved at all. But you can't ever guarantee that it's not going to be exploiting someone. But we know every industry exploits people. We know the movie industry exploits people. We know every every bit of clothing we wear is made in some factory that exploits people. So the question of exploitation should not be restricted to the question of porn. It applies to everything that we do in this world. Every form of production has exploitation in it.
That's a sophisticated adult argument. But we all know, you know, we all know, and this is actually at the root of the whole Rudd government's issue with porn. We all know that, you know, that adults in their 20s and 30s, you know, are all hip with everything. If somebody's, if two people are doing things and they're not hurting anyone else, that's cool. You know, we all know those kinds of.
Just put that mic right in your mouth.
Yeah, we all know those kinds of arguments. But what I'm saying is, you know, young people, I mean, our society has special laws. Our society has special laws for young people because young people are, you know, are vulnerable and they're suggestible. I mean, you know, young people will, you know, in, you know, young people, we're told young Arabs will blow themselves up, you know, because a mullah tells them to. We're told, you know, oh, you know, we all know young people are susceptible and can be exploited, you know, and like it's monkey see, monkey do with a lot of young people. I mean, you know, they'll watch this sort of crazy filth, you know, which is, involves incredible risks to your health. I mean, you know, our, you know, the legalization of homosexuality and homosexual acts is based on a kind of, you know, one of our modern, you know. Principles of social freedom and choice, and but again, it's like, you know, no one, you don't hear in all that sort of the risks of anal sex, or you know the incredible risks that can be taken by, if you tear your bowel and you can die of peritonitis, and you know, there's, you know, people are always talking about freedom, but they're not talking about the risks. So sure, it's okay in an adult context, but you know, it's unfair to not let young people, to be serve up this stuff to young people without any kind of controls.
Yeah, but I can tell you right now that if you were to censor the big stuff, you'll also censor information about how to be about. Like, for instance, at work there's an internet filter. Now, if I was to look, I went out and I had to do a story. I'm a graphic artist. I had to do a story, some graphics about breast cancer. Now I typed in breast cancer and I got a big thing saying sex crime on the screen because it was trying to, you know, find something to do with breasts. I mean, it is banning all sorts of information. Now, I have grown up through this internet revolution. My teenage years were at the start of this internet revolution. And I have seen all sorts of stuff because of the internet. It has not demented my brain, and anyhow, let's just take this out. What about the billboards with the extremely skinny woman holding a Prada bag? Is that not dementing the young women of today into thinking that they have to be as thin as that? That they have to be throwing up and get all sorts of eating disorders because they just can't, because they want to be like that billboard. I mean, that is just as dementing as any pornography that they might stumble across on the internet.
Yeah, but
I mean, honestly.
But that's the broad philosophical debate that there's always been. Hey, you know, if we're going to ban pornography, we might as well ban nude statues. And, you know, sex with animals. I mean, you know, bizarre anal sex, you know, with objects, you know. I mean.
But if it's a consenting adult who wants to put something up their ass,
no, but we have
that's their own choice.
But we have influence in, you know, children who are easily influenced, and young people who are easily influenced, even in their teenagers, who will not have thought of these things unless they saw it.
Look, I'm sure people will try to put things up their own anus without.
They've been doing this before the internet anyway.
Before the internet. They're sure, not going to see it and go, oh, right, well, I saw them, you know, trying to get a carrot up there, so I'm going to try.
No, but what
that.
I'm saying is...
I'm sure they think about that.
But these things, pornography sells these kinds of experimental, far-out things you can only achieve with certain muscle-relaxing drugs. They sells this sort of kind of, you know, whole panoply of exotic sexual tricks. It sells them as something that normal people do and everyone does and everyone likes. But they don't tell you the flip side of it all is the incredible health risks.
Well, I can tell you, if you ban that, they will definitely ban
you don't understand what I'm saying.
I do understand what you're saying. But at the end of the day, if a kid wants to see this, even let's say there is internet censorship, well, it is coming into place, they're going to find a way to go around the internet censorship.
I'm not arguing for internet censorship. I'm explaining to you the concerns as I see it, the concerns that are driving a lot of people who are you know, I mean, to be honest with you, I was walking down, I'll repeat this story. I was driving down George Street, and right in the corner of George Street, right downtown in the financial district, there was this two girls and a man simulating, you know, one of these pornography threesomes right down in the corner of town. Now, I've never seen that. I mean, it's just young people doing a mockery of something they saw on a porno, or, you know. I mean, but it's sort of like, you know, I've never seen that before. I mean, to me, it looks demented. I mean, I'm not arguing for internet censorship. I'm just saying,
look, Dan, honestly, though, people were having threesomes in the 1920s.
Sure, they've been doing it thousands of years ago. I agree with you. They're having orgies of thousands of years ago. Yeah. But
it's not the internet isn't creating this, you know, honestly. And
But, I mean, look, for example, sexual acts with animals is actually against the law.
Yeah, well, why ban the websites? Why not go after them? If it's against the law, go and arrest them.
I'm just mentioning, in Australian law, it's against the law. Now, apparently this stuff's perfectly available on the net.
Look, this is the debate that they
want. I'm glad we're having this debate. This is important.
Yeah, but this is the debate they want us to get into because it's a total distraction. It is not about pornography, folks. It is about anything else. It is about the movie industry. The government doesn't want certain sort of dissenting voices. It is about the music industry, and it's about the pornography industry. They want to, and it's about restricting what you see so that they can go back to the old model of feeding you information instead of you researching the vastness. It is about cutting out dissent and all the rest of it. It is not about pornography, and this is another distraction.
Well, it's like smoking, though. I mean, we've got these incredible laws against smoking. I mean, smokers, whenever they buy a pack, they are confronted by these absolutely gruesome pictures of people with, you know, cancers, particular cancers and fungus and gangrene and that kind of thing. Now, this is a really strong legal sanction that the government, you know, has imposed against smoking because of the public health costs of smoking. Now, now these kinds of, you know, weird sex, which is glamorized as something that everyone does for a thrill, which, you know, they could have some kind of, you know, system where with all of these weirdo sex sites, they could have great big, public health messages, which explain the risk. I mean, people, you know, people have tried out this sex with animals things and they
die. Can I ask you a question, Dan? Has that stopped people stop buying cigarettes? I mean, because of these pictures?
Well, but I'm just saying there is, you know, the government has this idea of their responsibility. They ought to warn people.
Okay, can I respond to that? Because, like, I've got a response to that, which also includes the pornography issue as well. I don't think anyone could doubt that the most pervasive influence on human behavior in my whole lifetime has been television, right? Now, with television and everything that's done with television, with advertising and TV shows, they have been able to create a kind of a reality for us through that. Would you agree with that?
I agree.
I stopped watching television a few years ago because I said enough is enough. I don't want to have a false reality created for me anymore. But for most of my life, you know, on and off, I did watch television. And television has influenced people hugely and exploited people hugely. Television made, back when I was a child, smoking was advertised on television. It wasn't until the mid-1970s that smoking was banned on television. Now, and they spent generations. The same companies with the you know, benevolent government looking on, not doing anything about it, getting people addicted to smoking. They did that for decade after decade after decade, and that, you know, with
But sure, that wasn't the government though.
The government oversaw it. The government.
Sure, they profited.
You can't tease apart who did it. They were all working in synchrony with each other. Well, you know, you're rolling your eyes, but Dan, this is a fact. The large corporations had tacit, you know, acceptance.
I agree with you. It's obviously corrupt. But what I'm saying is, you know, sure. I mean, we've sort of learned our lesson. The government's decided to include public health messages along with the sale of tobacco. You know, they've banned tobacco advertising on, you know, on sporting events and, you know, and TV, radio, that kind of thing. Like they used to, you know, everything used to have Marlboro on it, you know, racing cars.
Yeah, but this is the tobacco issue only, because I was thinking about this the other day, only got so massive and the push behind it got so massive because eventually, you know, 50% of Australians all had someone in their family that had died from cigarette-related illnesses. So it had such a massive push. Whereas internet censorship, no one's going to be dying if they don't censor it, if they do censor it. So you won't have a push to uncensor it. And once they censor it, once they spend the millions of dollars of hardware putting this infrastructure into place, it's see you later, freedom of information.
I mean, we're also looking to say, you know, the news never reports on what's going on in Iraq with the thousands of children, you know, dying. Or
that's
being
a
killed.
Real crime.
That's
that,
a real
that,
crime.
That is a real crime. But you see, what you'll find is these pictures which are on the internet will also be censored.
So, absolutely.
And people don't know what's going on. And there's thousands of children and, you know, human beings who are being killed by soldiers and very explicit images. And this is also going to be part of the censorship.
Well, they're actually quite hard to find, like, you know.
Yeah, see, there are a few of those.
See, if we had these images on the front page of newspapers, I mean, I think the Australian public will be outraged and demand that we, you know, withdraw the soldiers in Iraq within days. But because, you know, it's not put in front of us.
Look, I honestly think that using the puritanical
but it's not
nonsense argument that some video of two people having sex is so terrible that we just put in a system which can filter everyone's internet is so ridiculous. It's so absurd.
But they do have real concerns.
We really have to unanimously wake up and stop even giving lip service. And I'm glad we've had this debate.
Well,
but I think we really need to wake up as a people.
Well, it has highlighted what I think is now there is a real problem at the legislative level. I mean, the problem isn't just a blanket ban on internet. There isn't, you know, it's obviously internet censorship won't work. There's just inadequate laws.
But when you say it won't work, what does that even mean? Because the point is, whether it works or not, they want to do it.
Look, Dan, it works at my work. There's a filter at my work, and any page that the filter doesn't think is right, it just doesn't get displayed. Yeah. And I have to ring up and go through about 15 channels.
It's incredibly annoying, I imagine.
It's incredibly annoying, and there it is. Boom, okay, thanks, I got it. And it's open for maybe 24 hours while I have to do the research for that legitimately. Or if I don't, then it just doesn't get open. Now, it works. So to have a federal massive one will work. Yeah. Absolutely.
But I mean, there are real concerns with the pornography. Okay, I'm not arguing for censorship, but I mean,
where do you draw the line, Dan? I mean, how about like just nude photographs? Should they be banned?
But I mean, where
who decides?
Okay.
Who's the one who says, you know, this is okay it's just, you know, bums and tits?
Can take a chance to take a time out to remember Paul Robert Collins, my brother, who was a medical doctor. He did work at Long Bay.
Yeah.
Right. He did drink himself to death. He was, you know, he did patch up young people who'd been gang raped in prison, right? Their, you know, asses had been ripped out. Their bowels had been ripped. You know, they were dying. You know, they could contracted horrible diseases, you know, from this, you know, from these injuries. The fact was, you know, my brother was at the cutting edge of this kind of thing. Well, the real coalface, and he didn't think anal sex was some glamorous thing that movie stars did, you know.
But honestly, Dan, it's ridiculous to think that people are having anal sex because it's shown on the internet.
Look, I think at the end of the day, if families want to censor the internet, they should just, you know, there should be a site where you can put your IP address and go, you know, I want my whole internet censored, and actually have like a voluntary thing for those parents, you know, with kids, and just to hand over their own IP address. I don't think it should be a blanket for everyone.
But people have been
I don't think you should even go that far. You should just download some software and put it on your computer.
Sure.
So take responsibility for yourself, folks. Yeah. Stop blaming the government. Stop trying to get the government to help you and to protect you because they can't. Protect yourself. All they will do is cause more tyranny. Now, if you want to protect your children, by letting the government do that, you're doing the total opposite, because in the future, your children will not be free. And that is so far from protecting your children. If you want to protect your children's future, then you will have a free and open internet, because a closed society, a closed internet, a closed society of information is the ultimate in tyranny, and that
Look,
is the scary
the history
thing.
Is this. The facts are this, and they're very stark, and you've got to face them. In the past, whenever governments have enacted strict measures to deal with crime fighting, whatever they call, you know, suppressing crime by extreme measures, what happens is, yes, some crimes are reduced. Some of the petty crimes are reduced. At the same time that they give themselves so much power to be able to do that, they commit crimes on a level so far beyond, so more incredible than these petty crimes that they were supposedly trying to stop. They end up committing genocide. They end up exterminating millions of people.
Just look at terrorism, right? How many people die from terrorism a year? It is so small compared to how many have been killed in the name of fighting terrorism.
But I'm just saying, but again, sorry, bringing it back to point. There have been a lot of feminist writers lately who have been saying that, you know, nowadays you get a lot of young men insisting that they have anal sex with their partners, and they've only got the idea from pornography available on the internet. I mean,
but that's a public information campaign, not a ban the internet. That's a public information campaign, just like anti-smoking is, just like everything else.
You can say the same thing about, you know, no sex before marriage. I mean, I'm sure there's Christian fundamentalists out there saying, oh, I don't believe people are having sex, you know, without being married. I mean, it comes down to that person's individual choice.
Sure, but some sociologists and feminists have been saying this kind of thing.
But Dan, okay, one question. Do you really think that anal sex is more of a problem than, say, eating McDonald's? Because I think probably eating McDonald's is worse for you than anal sex.
Well, I don't...
I really do. And I think that possibly... You know, and yet there's no plan to censor McDonald's.
I think anal sex is healthier than tyranny.
Well, I mean,
I must say,
again, I'm not arguing for internet censorship. I'm just saying there are some real strong undercurrents and some real backlashes. I mean, imagine sending your beautiful daughter to be married to some guy. I mean, and he wants to do her in the backside.
What if she wants it, though? What if she asks her husband because she prefers it that way?
It's supposed to be a happy marriage between two beautiful young people. This is not, it's not a damn prison yard.
I understand what you're saying, Dan, but I'm just saying that you don't like it, you don't enjoy it, but I'm sure there's some people out there. I mean, I have friends that actually enjoy it. I do, yeah. And that's the reality of it.
I know women that enjoy anal sex more than...
Than men like to give it, yeah.
That's a bit silly. But I'm just saying, what I'm saying is this... I mean, people argue that this sort of thing is, they wouldn't have thought of this. They wouldn't have thought it was normal. They wouldn't have thought it was, unless the exposure to this kind of stuff that you'd never get otherwise. I mean, this is something good or bad that the internet has shoved in our faces.
Well, has it? I mean, there's a search engine. I don't stumble across anal sex things. If I wanted to find it, then I would find it. Obviously, I've got an inclination to find such a thing.
It used to be much worse. I mean, you used to get, you know,
free email. You search for Heineken beer and you'd get a porn site. But nowadays, it's not. It's very sophisticated. Search algorithms are extremely sophisticated. And if you want what you get, you get.
Folks, we need to take a little break. Now, I think we're going to have a song. Can anyone, is there any requests? We can get anything on YouTube, thanks to the free internet.
Excellent.
Would anyone like to make a request for a song for today's show?
Are we thinking, what, Bob Dylan?
We often do Bob.
What about the Robots?
What about The Herd?
Oh, The Herd, yeah.
That sounds interesting. Any particular song, or we'll just search on that?
Just search. The Herd, by the way, is an Australian band. I guess they're anti-establishment hip-hop rap band.
We'll just pause for that. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, and I'm Hereward Fenton, and we're just about to break for some music.
Of Australians agree with John Howard's actions on the Tampa.
What happened to the others?
The thing is to use military force against the refugees. Isn't that a little overkill?
Spokesman for the line that owns the ship says Australian SAS troops are in danger of breaking the laws of piracy.
Undoubtedly, this is the most popular decision as far as the Australian public are concerned the government's made during its reign. The captain, before entering Australian waters, yet sent out a distress signal.
Clearly, our solution was, it wasn't any farcical, it was immoral.
I wish that
this problem, we're not out.
Sitting here, staring into a beer, shaking my head at the same old loathing and fear. Stranger in my own land, can't understand how the very word Australian has just been damned. I fucking hate myself, take Aussie from my name, erase this endless shame, forever cast some blame. If you don't act the same, will I destroy you? Everyone looks the same, beaten black and blue. So I've had enough of these redneck pricks, when fact is the only real shit that sticks. Watch as I tear the very skin from my face, so none will see my race, my deep disgrace. You're not even from here in the first place. And those who are, you want a further debate? Nah, no more, never again. Whether by fist or pen, I will defend. Somehow to loose end the shattered remnants of Aussie dignity. I'm a skip, whitey, round eye, surprise me. Use your shrivel brain and please explain how the clever country just went down the drain. We rode the sheep's back, now the sheep ride you. If this is how it's gonna be, don't call me True Blue. I denounce my ancestors, wounds still fester. If you say that, so I suggest you wake up. Wake up, this country needs a fucking shake up. Wake up, these cunts need a shake up. Wake up, this country needs a fucking shake up. Wake up, these cunts need a shake up. Wake up, this country needs a fucking shake up. Wake up, these cunts need a shake up. Wake up, this country needs a fucking shake up. Wake up. Talk backs, walking hacks, won't relax until Jonesy's a manic and laws are all hacks. 77% of Aussies are racist. If you're here, I'll say it to your faces. Rich redneck pricks still hold all the aces. I'll buy you a beer with an arsenic chaser. Better off dead, is that what I've said? Tempting to take for all the blood you've shed. No doubt you're as bad as your dad's and your mum. Mainstream media making me so fucking glum. Anglo-reality, intellectual cavity, Channel 9 fostering prejudice mentality. I won't be a casualty, just mentioned casually. I can't stand for your shit-eating bullies preying on pimps without a mainstream voice. Most of you stay silent, but I got no choice. Wake up, this country needs a fucking shake up. Wake up, these cunts need a shake up. Wake up, this country needs a fucking shake up. Wake up, these cunts need a shake up. Wake up, this country needs a fucking shake up. Wake up, these cunts need a shake up. Wake up, this country needs a fucking shake up. Wake up. Well, I've yelled my lungs out, but to no avail. Well, I've yelled my lungs out, but to no avail. Well, I've yelled my lungs out, but to no fucking avail. But you're a stranger yourself. Now that's the sting in the tail. Captain Cook was the very first Q jumper. It was immigrant labour that made Australia plumper. Enough is enough, whiteys go pack your stuff. Don't wanna live in England? That's fucking tough. I'm sick and tired of this redneck wonderland. Most you stay silent and I can't understand. I just can't understand. It's time for you to wake up. This country needs a fucking shake up. Wake up. These cunts need a shake up. Wake up. This country needs a fucking shake up. Wake up. These cunts need a shake up. Wake up. This country needs a fucking shake up. Wake up. These cunts need a shake up. Wake up. This country needs a fucking shake up. Wake up.
Hello and welcome back to Truth News Radio Australia. Well, that song by The Herd, 77%, was quite an interesting little find, and thank you, Maria, for suggesting that.
No worries.
Apologies for any foul language that may have been used during the song, or, in fact, during the show. Now,
make sure to censor your children.
Yes, make sure to keep the kids safe. How about we just nuke the whole planet?
Well, that'll keep everyone safe because they won't be around. No, look, anyway. Honestly, it's about censoring yourself and censoring your own family and not censoring your own family, but educating your own family about issues and things. I mean, my you know, this whole mentality as well. I remember growing up because I grew up in a family where my father was a biologist. He's a biology teacher, in fact, and. Ever since, you know, the word go, I've been given Where Did I Come From books down to explicit, you know, exact biological, you know, totally new where kids came. But all my friends were like, you know, didn't know anything. They came from stalks or from the cabbage patch. And I just remember being totally confused by this. And then I'd watch these American sitcoms where it would go like, oh, the wife would go, oh, you have to give them the talk. Oh, and the dad would get all embarrassed and, oh, no, the birds and bees talk. Oh, how, oh. Like it's some bad, weird, awkward thing to tell your children about sex and where children come from and how life moves forward and the amazing thing that we have on this planet where two...
That's right. It's being marketed as a taboo thing. And the reality is it can be a wonderful and beautiful thing.
It's an amazing thing. It's absolutely phenomenal.
Between two consenting, loving adults.
Yeah. I mean...
I mean, that's the way I see it. Maybe because of the age I grew up in. I just don't get it. I don't get this thing of treating sex as some problem. I also don't get the heavy commercialization of it.
Well,
turning it into commodities just to sell you things. I don't understand that. Pornography, I mean, it's just sex for sex's sake. So to me, that's better than having an ad that always just trying to sell you something that's tied into sex to psychologically make your brain tied into buying a type of, you know, product of some kind. I mean, to me, that is really sick.
Everywhere. It is everywhere. And for them to say, oh, we're protecting children, I've seen the most explicit ads. Yeah, there is no nudity, but there might as well be because they're so explicit.
Well, actually, there's been a flood of complaints.
What about Disney?
There's been a flood of complaints about some of the Viagra ads, which are so just humiliating to men, you know, telling, you know, just blaring out in a big voice, oh, do you have erection problems? And you know, people don't really want to hear that when they're listening to the radio in a public place, you know, in a shopping mall or something. They don't want to hear some male voice saying, have you got an erection problem? Yeah. I mean, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that is an incredibly invasive, insulting way of treating human beings.
Do women feel the same way about, you know, feminine hygiene product ads? I mean, they're all over the place. I mean,
they may do.
If you want to protect your children, then, you know, make sure they're not watching Disney as well. I mean, if you look at the subliminal advertising in that. That one, you know about the phallic symbolism in Disney?
No.
If you do a Google search on that.
Right. I mean, it's, you know, the thing is, folks, we live in an open society where discussion can happen and where it is our duty, not the government's, to protect our own family.
We need to be regulating. We need to not, and I mean regulating, I don't mean censoring, but we need to be regulating as citizens what we allow the network controllers of our television and radio to do with our money, because ultimately we are the ones who fund everything. We fund everything.
Look,
we buy the products that they sell to us through advertising.
Absolutely.
We are the people. We own the country. Hello, I think this is where we've forgotten. There's millions of us, or we're just working away as slaves, and we think that we don't own anything. We own everything.
No, and we really, as the people, need to understand that you can boycott, you can stop doing something, but it is really important for us to stop blaming government, to stop giving government power, because by blaming government, what you're doing is you're giving them the power to create the answer.
Yeah, we do two things. We either blame them or we ask them to protect us. You know, on the one hand, protect us, help us, save us. Ah. On the other hand, it's like, oh, government, you didn't do the right thing. You know, you didn't do this properly. You didn't do that properly. They're both childish attitudes, both of them.
It's very, very important. It's very important that we take back control, that we control our own family network, our own family, and we educate our own families. And it's really important. It is the most important thing. And if Family First think they're doing a favor for the family by censoring the internet, they are totally deluded, because they're doing worse. They're taking away the power from the family and they're giving it to the government.
Well, the issue here is that we are losing our freedoms. And by this internet censorship taking place, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yep.
It is a steady erosion of of things that we took for granted for so long. And, you know, as I see these basic freedoms being eroded on so many levels, I see the cognitive dissonance kicking in, where the average person just applies a mind blinker and stops looking in the direction of where what they're not allowed to do anymore.
Would you explain cognitive dissonance?
Well, cognitive dissonance is a well-known psychological concept, which actually it's a natural psychological mechanism by which we adapt ourselves to reality. We don't allow easily into our consciousness things which are dissonant, or information which is dissonant with what we already think we know. And dissonance is a term that means actually, like if I were to play, you know, on the guitar, if I were to like pluck two notes that were not actually related to each other in the scale, you would get what's called dissonance, and it's an unpleasantness. It doesn't sound good. It's out of key. That's the psychological version of that in your brain. You get dissonance. It's unpleasant. You don't like it. So you think you're free. You see some evidence that you're not free. You screen it out, yeah. And you just turn away as if it's not happening.
You almost ignore it. Well, you do.
Yeah. You turn away as if it's not happening. Maria, you were telling us earlier a tale about parents being prevented from taking photographs of their own kids at public events.
That's right.
Of which you've been involved, and you've been asked to actually supervise in that.
That's right. It's an arena that holds about 12,000 people. And, you know, they have a few kids' events, everything from the Wiggles to this thing called School Spectacular, where it's like a competition of all these schools that get together. And it's mostly parents and relatives that attended these events to watch their children on stage. And we've been told it's because of the Child Policy Act that parents cannot take photographs or video of their child's performance. And the only way to purchase that is, you know, there's one video camera running, and you can only get that footage. So if you want to, you know, zoom into your child and watch, you know, your kid's performance, you can't do that. And we ask the parents to put the cameras and video cameras away. If they do not comply, we then are told to contact security to then remove them.
Now, the fact that it's got this far and that has been allowed to happen without a major protest, without really parents going on strike and taking their children out of school and saying, look, we're not going to comply until you change this. We're just not going to comply. You're going to have to change your rule.
Again, it's under the guise.
Is a sign of our deep crisis.
This is under the guise of child protection. These laws got passed under the guise of we need to protect our children against pedophiles that take pictures of children. Now, look what the reality is. The reality is there's one camera taking a shot of the whole lot, and you can buy this footage for $20 for the DVD. So in actual fact, it's protecting a corporate interest of a DVD sales. It is not protecting the children whatsoever, because you can still get the image of the children for $20.
I mean, how long will it be before they tell you you can't even video your kids in your own home?
I mean, that's exactly one argument that a parent actually had with me. It's like, well, you know, if these policies are in place to protect our children, then can't these pedophiles just purchase the DVDs just like everyone else can?
Exactly. I mean, it's a joke. It's one big joke, folks. It's not about protecting children. And if you want to protect children, you've got to protect liberties and freedoms for us to protect our own children.
Yes, if you want to protect your children for the future, for when they grow up, for their children and their children's children, you better protect liberty.
That's right. That's right.
You better protect their liberty, because that's the most precious thing.
The government cannot protect you. That's number one rule. You need to protect yourself almost against the government.
And we, as the people, need to protect the universal values and not ever let them be eroded, not ever let them be questioned as they have with, say, torture.
Through fear.
Well, you know, as there's been this steady erosion of what is the concept of torture, and what we've seen is, you know, the subjection of horrendous treatment to prisoners such as David Hicks, who never committed a crime under Australian law, but he was subject to solitary confinement and goodness knows what else for 6 years. And he's actually a criminal.
He's actually a
criminal because he confessed, but he didn't even commit a crime under Australian law. I mean, you know, it's a bit off topic, but I mean, it's just an example of you know, the going along with sort of perversion of of basic concepts. Like, it's really important to understand why we enshrine freedom and why we ban abuse and torture.
For instance,
we just have to be very, very firm about it.
For instance, folks, if, and this is an example of how the government can't protect you, if something happens to your house, or if the, someone breaks in and whatever else, the cops come after the fact. They come after you've been broken into and they take notes.
Yeah.
And then they try to figure something out. They cannot protect you. They are not there. You are the only ones that can protect yourself. Yeah, you can put into place laws and this and that. And that is needed. I'm not saying we don't need a government. We need a government. And they've got their place. But government always try to gain more power. Always. And to nanny you. To try and take the power away from you.
So we can be easily manipulated and controlled.
The way in which they think they can protect you, or people think they can be protected, is only by preventative measures that basically are so draconian and so over the top that you know, some bad thing could never happen because you don't even make it an option. You know, like curfew. I mean, in a military occupation, typically they have a curfew, which means no one allowed on the street after a certain time,
what,
otherwise
you mean,
shot.
You mean in Melbourne martial for law? Drinking?
Well, again, thanks for pointing that
we
out.
We do actually have a curfew in Sydney. It's the new nightclub curfew where...
Is it?
Yeah, you can't enter a club after 2 a.m. You have to... If you're already in a club in the premises, that's fine. But if you actually want to get out and go to another club or bar after 2 a.m., you can't. What about shift workers, hospitality workers? I mean, I used to work in the hospitality industry, you know, and when you finish work at 2, 3 in the morning, you want to go for one or two drinks after work, you can't do that anymore.
Where is the freedom?
Except for the casino, of course. It's the only option.
Casino is joking. Always open and always inviting.
That's right.
I mean, this. Where is the freedom to be able to walk on our own streets?
Question actually for the panel. Is depictions of anal sex or the casino more dangerous for our health? The casino operates 24 hours a day in Sydney at Star City, and it is basically a machine to take money from you. It's all it does. It just steals money from you. And it's been operating now for 10, 12 years.
Harold, I actually
unabated.
Used to work at Star City Casino as a bartender in the Elite Lounge, which is pretty much where you have to spend at least $500,000 to enter. And I've seen some really nasty things go down there. And, you know, we're asked to sign confidentiality agreements upon employment.
Wow.
Yeah. And so a lot of – I only lasted a few months. I just couldn't handle it. It was just really bad.
Was this violence?
You know, a lot of things happened. For example, you know, people kill themselves in the actual casino. Because they've just, you know, they've just lost three homes. You know, some of these people, business owners, they'd lose the whole business in one night.
Well, we won't break your confidentiality.
Well, I don't work there anymore. Yeah. It's okay.
That is really, really sad.
And free alcohol. And so we give out top-notch, like top-shelf alcohol to the big-time gamblers. And they get intoxicated, spend more money.
But that's a whole other issue.
It's all about protecting the children, folks.
It's all about
protect the children from the terrible pornography,
folks.
You know,
honestly, we are doing exactly what they want us to do, and when I say they, I mean the government and special interests. Is we want to be talking about, ooh, is pornography good or bad? It's not about that. It's about letting the government build massive infrastructure to ban whatever sites they feel isn't right for you to see.
Well, I think as we build our voice and we make our voice known, and I think anyone who would come into this discussion now could be pretty well convinced by force of logic, not by peer group pressure, just by logic of what we're saying.
So, Herod, what can people do? Can they? I know that there's a great petition linked from wearechange.org.au.
Okay, what can people do? This is a big question. Now, unfortunately, we have a very disjointed and sort of chaotic, badly organized response to this in Australia. There is a day of protest coming up, but unfortunately, I can't even find a web page now which gives me information about it.
Maybe it's being censored.
It's not on the Electronic Frontiers Australia website. I don't know why. It's not on the Clean Feed. Those are two sites you can go to, efa.org.au. And cleanfeed
dot com. No cleanfeed.com.
Yeah, no cleanfeed.com. But unfortunately, those sites do not list this day of protest. I don't know why.
Okay, the other thing you can do is write to Senator Conroy. That's Senator Conroy, C-O-N-R-O-Y. He is the champion of this clean feed, this so-called clean feed. He's the one that's pushing really hard to get it through. His email address is minister@dbcde.gov.au. You can also write to your local member. You know, be sure to find that. Just type into Google, how do I find my local member? You know, you can call Conroy. You know, you can contact your ISP as well.
Is there also ACMA that's behind this? ACMA is the actual Australian Commission of Media Association.
ACMA.
Well, they're the people behind it who are actually going to censor it.
Yeah, they're the bad guys. But you should contact them as well.
Contact everyone, people.
Yeah, join the EFA, the Electronic Freedom.
And check out the show notes for Truth News Radio, because we'll have all of this stuff available for you to inspect.
Yeah. But, you know, there's plenty of stuff you can do, and it's really important that you do it. Don't just sit back. Don't just listen to us. Get active, because, honestly, you will not have the same internet in a year's time if you don't.
Well, it'll be a typical scenario which you've experienced, Josh, where, you know, you get online and you try to go to a site and you can't get into it. And you'll be going, oh, that's a bit funny. And you won't even know whether it's because you've got a bad internet or because they've blocked it, or you won't know what's going on. You'll even assume it is when it's not. It'll make everyone very uncomfortable, because we'll just won't know. Because a lot of the time my internet goes down and, you know, it comes back up again. But once this system is in place, every time you can't access a page, you'll think they've blocked it. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Also, if anyone does have any information about this, who knows quite a lot of details about it, for example, if they do work for ACMA, feel free to contact wearechange.org.au.
Wearechange.org.au, absolutely.
Or
us here at truthnews.com. Actually, leave a comment.
We're going to do a whole show on wearechange.org.au next week. Because we've kind of like, this show's been dedicated to the internet, but we have this great new group that we've started, We Are Change Australia, and we're going to do a whole show on that, aren't we, guys, next week.
Well, and hopefully we'll get in contact with the great folks up at We Are Change Queensland.
In fact, we might get one of those guys on the show.
Yeah, that'll be great.
They're great guys.
Yeah.
And, look, folks, go to the show notes. Go to the show at truthnews.com.au and leave a comment. You know, get into the discussion. If you disagree with anything we say, please leave a comment. If you want to bring up any you know, issues that you want us to cover, please leave a comment. Until then.
Yeah, I guess we've really run to the end of today's show, and it's been terrific having Maria on.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Dan, for your contributions.
No problem.
And stay tuned. We're back on a regular schedule now. We'll be doing another show next week, and the week after, and the week after, and the week after, into the end of time. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let us say good night from Truth News Radio Australia. Truth News.